Amen. As I considered this service this morning, my mind and my heart was drawn to the closing words of verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1. And there we have that simple yet concise statement where the Apostle Paul spoke about the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. Now that little phrase sums up the church's message. The only message that the church of Jesus Christ has for men and women, for you and for the community in which we live and labor, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul very concisely defined the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And he went on to speak those words, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And in a nutshell, that is the gospel. The redemptive or the saving work of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners. And like the apostle, we can go on to say we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so that little statement, it sums up the message of the church to the hearts of men and women, the gospel. But then I think we could say furthermore, that little statement sums up the church's mission. The furtherance of the gospel. Just prior to the Lord Jesus ascending into heaven, after his resurrection, he spent 40 days on this earth. And just before he ascended into heaven, he met with his disciples and he gave them what has come to be known as the Great Commission. It's spoken of and it's recorded in Mark 16 in the verse 15. When he said, "Go ye into all the world," and I'm emphasizing all the world, "and preach the gospel." And so the gospel, the message of the church, Christ dying for our sins, rising again for our justification, that message is to be taken into every nation, to every tribe, and to every tongue. And whether we speak locally of Port of Down, or we speak to our province, or to the ends of the earth, the mission of the church is to further the gospel message among the people of this world. The Lord Jesus, again, just prior to him ascending into heaven, he spoke to his apostles and he said, "Ye shall receive power." Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem," their own city, in Judea, their own province, in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And as you read through the book of Acts, you discover that every individual Christian within the New Testament church had a role to play. I'm thinking of Acts 8, upon the persecution of Stephen. And the believers were scattered to Samaria. And they preached or they spoke about the word of God and the gospel. I'm thinking of Acts 11, when upon that persecution, they went as far as Antioch. And they preached and they proclaimed the word of God there in a private capacity, so that a church was formed in both those cities, Samaria and Antioch. The furtherance of the gospel is the mission of the church. And can I say to you that that little phrase, the furtherance of the gospel, I believe sums up the majesty or the glory of the church. Because I put it to you this morning that the church, as we look back throughout its history, commencing in the book of Acts and the commencement of the New Testament administration of the church. And as we trace its history, we could mention the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. We could mention the great revivings of the 1800s. The church, I put it to you, has never been more glorious than when it is actively seeking to spread the gospel message far and wide. In the book of Acts, you have the New Testament church and the apostles taking the gospel to Europe and to Asia Minor. In the Reformation, the gospel was spread throughout Europe. In the 1800s, it was the birth of modern-day missions to Africa, to Asia, to South America. I put it to you again that the church has been glorious whenever it has been actively seeking to further the gospel on earth. As you read the New Testament, you discover that one man, more than any other, stands out as a man who sought to further the gospel in his day. That man was the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, though he was the least of all the apostles, he spoke about by the grace of God, he labored more than they all. And it was no idle boast, but of a truth this morning we can say the Apostle Paul labored and his life was given to further the gospel cause. And as I read, and as we do read these verses in Philippians chapter 1, we have set before us the characteristics of one who lived to further the gospel. And I want to challenge your heart this morning, child of God. Is your life on earth, for you have only one life and will soon be passed, is your life lived to spread the gospel and to sound the gospel of grace abroad? As we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we discover a man whose life was given to spread that message. And the first thing I want you to notice about this man and about his life in furthering the gospel, I want you to look at verse 12 and I want you to see the sacrifice that he made. I'm drawing your attention actually to verse 13. He declares, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace or the praetorium, the common hall of Caesar. And I'm paying particular attention to the word bonds, because the bond is a reference to the apostle's chain, his imprisonment. The epistle to the Philippians was a prison epistle. It was written during his incarceration there in the city of Rome. And his bonds are a reference to the fact that he was in prison for nothing more than seeking to preach and further the gospel. In fact, we can conclude that Paul's imprisonment was because of his furthering the gospel. When he concluded his third missionary journey, he returned to the city of Jerusalem. He took the opportunity there to testify of the grace of God. And you'll remember how he was beaten. He was rescued by the Roman centurion. And after having appealed to Felix, Festus and Agrippa, he appealed his case to Caesar himself. And so he was taken to that ship that was leaving Israel, which sailed the Mediterranean Sea, and he made his way to Rome, a prisoner for the gospel. And we can say that here was a man, here was the Apostle Paul, and he was a man who was prepared to sacrifice his own freedom. And he was prepared to suffer loss, the loss of his freedom, that the gospel message might be furthered in his day and in his generation. There's a verse in 2 Timothy that sums up the apostles' sacrifice and endurance for the furtherance of the gospel. Turn over to 2 Timothy and the chapter 2. Look at verse 10. In fact, if we read verse 9, the apostle declares, "Wherein I suffer trouble." So he's reminding Timothy that he's suffering trouble. He's suffering persecution for his furtherance of the gospel. As an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And I want you to pay particular attention to him. Therefore I endure all things. The all things that he's speaking about are the sufferings and the sacrifice that he's made. And he's prepared to suffer and to endure those things. And why in his life was he prepared to do that? Verse 10 gives you the answer. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a verse that is. God has a chosen people in this world. They will be saved by the gospel. And child of God, I remind you this morning, it is our responsibility to take the gospel to them. And the apostle is declaring that he was prepared to suffer the hardships, that he was prepared to endure the trouble and the bonds and the imprisonment if it meant furthering the gospel to the souls of men and women, that they might be saved. We might well stop and ask ourselves for a few moments, what exactly did Paul suffer? What exactly did he endure to further the gospel? What did he sacrifice that others may be brought to know the Lord? He lost his reputation. You'll see it there in verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He spoke about how he was counted an evildoer. Men slandered him and said all manner of evil against him. Rather than being classed and called as a man of God by society at large, he was frowned upon as an evil worker. He lost his reputation, particularly among his own people. He lost his comforts. Let me just, I'll not turn to the portion of Scripture, but 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28 describes for you what Paul suffered in his journeyings and in his missionary endeavors. He spoke about being beaten. He spoke about being stoned. He spoke about being shipwrecked, about in journeyings often, being robbed, knowing what it was to hunger and to thirst, to be cold and to be naked. And yet all of those things he endured, and he made the sacrifice that he might spread the gospel. He lost his comforts. He lost his reputation. He lost his freedom. He lost his friends. In 2 Timothy 4 and 16, he said at my first answer, his first answer before Caesar, no man stood with me. He knew what it was to be abandoned and to stand alone. And in the end, he lost his life. For his imprisonment would eventually end in his martyrdom and his death. And he said to Timothy, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I wonder this morning, God's people, does the challenge come to your heart? As I challenge my own heart, am I prepared to make sacrifices personally for the furtherance of the gospel and for the furtherance of the message of the cross of Christ? Are we prepared to give up an evening in the week to come and pray for the cause of Christ to be furthered? Are we prepared to sacrifice of our time? Perhaps a second evening in the week to be involved in some effort of evangelism, whether it's among the children or in some other way. Are we prepared to sacrifice of our finances so that the gospel can go forth to the ends of the earth and missionaries and preachers can be supported? Are we prepared to sacrifice our own name and our own reputation in the workplace to be known as the Christian who will speak out and who will tell work colleagues or family members, yes, there's a God in heaven and you need to be saved? Are we prepared, even if called? The day may come when we may even have to give up certain freedoms that we enjoy. Are we prepared, even as the Apostle Paul was, that if need be, we would be willing to lay down our life for the gospel? The furtherance of the gospel was Paul's aim, and he was prepared to make sacrifice personally to see that that aim was reached and that goal was achieved. And the challenge comes to our hearts. Are we prepared to do the same? I want you to look at Philippians chapter 1 again. And I want you to notice in the second place this morning, not merely the sacrifice that Paul made to further the gospel, but the sovereignty that he beheld in furthering the gospel. Now look again, look at verse 12. The apostle commences that verse with this statement: "But I would that ye should understand, brethren." You see, the brethren at Philippi had a misunderstanding. They didn't understand the providence of God that had been worked out in the Apostle Paul's life, and they couldn't reason in their minds how it was for the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul, in writing this epistle, he's writing to show them. And he's asking them to understand that the events that happened unto him, rather than being detrimental to the gospel, those events were actually being used of God to further the gospel. Look at the verse again. "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." And so often we can be like the saints at Philippi. We look at the events that are happening in our lives or in the Church of Christ, and we wonder, how could those events ever be to the furtherance of the gospel? They seem to be working to the detriment of the gospel. We look at Iraq, and we hear our news reports of what is going on in Syria, and how the Islamist extremists are butchering Christians, and how they are putting all men to death if they will not convert to Islam. We look at North Korea and we see Christians incarcerated in concentration camps, denied their civil liberties, and we wonder, how could those events be to the furtherance of the gospel? The same was true in Paul's day. The believers at Philippi couldn't understand how Paul's imprisonment would help the gospel cause. And yet the Apostle Paul was able to relate to them in these verses how that while men thought evil against them, God meant it for good, and salvation was brought from those very events. How did God further the gospel through Paul's imprisonment? Well, if you look at verse 13, he declares, "So that my bonds in Christ are made manifest in all the palace." The word palace there, if you have a margin in your Bible, You will see that it could be translated praetorium. It means common hall. And Paul is saying that the reason for his bonds, the reason for his imprisonment was made known in Caesar's common hall. He had the opportunity to testify as to why he was a prisoner. He wasn't a murderer. But you will know that in his past life, before he was saved, he was guilty of the blood of Stephen, the Lord's faithful servant. But he wasn't a prisoner in Rome because of theft or murder or treason. He was able to share with them how he was there because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a tremendous verse that we do well to note in Philippians chapter 4. Just turn over to verse 22. As Paul testified to those he had opportunity to as he was in prison, what happened? Look at verse 22 of chapter 4. All the saints salute you. He's concluding his remarks to the church at Philippi. And he's saying, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. There were those in the household of Caesar who heard the gospel through either the direct witness of Paul or through someone else who had heard it through Paul, and they were saved, born again of the Spirit of God. And I put it to you that had the Apostle Paul not been bound in Jerusalem, had he not sealed to the city of Rome, had he not been incarcerated there, there were souls, inhumanly speaking, he never would have witnessed to them. They never would have been born again. And you can see that while the saints in Philippi thought Paul's imprisonment hindered the gospel, yet it furthered the gospel. You'll remember too that whenever Paul was on his journey to Rome, the ship was wrecked on the island of Malta, and men were saved, and a church was formed and started there. None of those things would have taken place, humanly speaking, had it not been for Paul's chain, for Paul's imprisonment. And as Paul looked upon the providential dealings with God in his life, he, like Joseph, could say, as Joseph said of his brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. He could say, all things work together for good to them that love God, and brethren and sisters in every situation in life. Look to the Lord, that He will give you opportunity to spread the gospel. If your employment changes, if providence takes you in a different course or brings you into contact with different people, look to the Lord, that God is giving you an opportunity to further the gospel of Christ. But through the sovereignty of God, sinners were not only saved, but saints were stirred to preach the word. Look again at Philippians 1 and look at verse 14. And we're still thinking about the sovereignty of God in these events. Paul says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord. This is another reason why the things that happened unto Paul have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. Because many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, the Lord never leaves Himself without a voice. When John the Baptist was put to death, Jesus came preaching in Galilee. And when Paul was imprisoned, the church at Philippi thought, we've lost the Apostle Paul. His voice is silent. He can no longer preach and teach us publicly. But when Paul was incarcerated in prison, Paul said, because of his imprisonment, many of the brethren waxing confident in my bonds. It was Paul's imprisonment that stirred them, and they began to open their mouth, and they began to preach publicly for the Lord. Some, of course, preached out of envy and strife to add affliction to Paul's bonds, but others out of goodwill. Paul summed it up when he said in verse 17, "But the one of love, or the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, means an outward show. There were some who just put on the outward show to cause Paul greater hardship and seek to have his bonds increased. Paul said, whether they preach in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And there were those who were genuinely stirred to preach the gospel. And again, I say to you, child of God, when the hard times come, and when the difficulties come, take those matters to the Lord in prayer and look for opportunities to spread the news of the gospel of Christ. For the Lord brings good out of evil, and the Lord is able to make from our circumstances that sometimes we would feel are detrimental, He's able to cause His gospel to flourish all the same. The Apostle Paul then, in furthering the gospel, we've noted the sacrifices that he made. We've noted the sovereignty of God that he beheld. But can I turn you in closing again to Philippians chapter 1 and notice the satisfaction that he received. Look at verse 18 again. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Philippians is known as the epistle of joy, because over and over and over again, Paul speaks about his joy in the gospel. And child of God, your chief joy in life is or should be the gospel, the fact that though you are a mortal man or woman, though the outward man is perishing, though you are on the long march to the grave, yet Christ has given you eternal life, that you have a home in heaven, that you're saved and you're right with God and ready to meet Him. That, child of God, is your chief joy. There's things that make us happy in life. And I know there are other things that make us happy in life. But our chief joy is the gospel. And Paul not only rejoiced in the salvation of the gospel, but he rejoiced in the spread of the gospel. For he declares there, whether the gospel was preached in pretense or in truth, I rejoice, and therein do rejoice. I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm nearly finished this morning. But just as we close, I want you to think about Paul's surroundings. I want you to think about Paul's circumstances. For he's languishing in a Roman prison cell. In a Roman prison that makes McGabran and McGilligan look like palaces. You get a glimpse of the sufferings of Paul in the prison when you read 2 Timothy, for he declared to young Timothy, come before winter and bring the cloak with you, bring my cloak with you. The winter was coming, the prison was cold, and Paul was suffering. And there he is, and he's languishing, and he's cold, and he's hungry, and all he has is the bread of affliction. And he knows his life is soon to end. For by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And he knew he was facing certain death. And there in the prison cell, in the cold,
suffering, facing death, he could say, I rejoice. And he rejoiced because the gospel was being furthered. I tell you, men and women, that is our chief joy in life. Surely we should be able to sing with the hymn writer, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And after our salvation, whatever we are called to endure, our chief joy after our salvation should be the fact that the gospel is being spread and being furthered. I trust that my ministry in Portadown, as we commence it this Lord's Day, will be for the furtherance of the gospel. And may the Lord give us the joy and privilege of seeing his gospel furthered and many souls coming to Christ.